Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Susan. So lovely to have the space together. Thank you. And even though the grip of winter has reasserted itself, there's light outside. It looks kind of sunshiny, so.
It's gonna do that for a while.
Yep. You know, in the Tuesday continuing class, we're about to start looking at right speech, which is part of the Eightfold Path. And so it's been something I've been reflecting on. And I just would like to, since we only have a few minutes this morning, I'd like to reflect on one slice of it, which is that the first step in right speech is deep listening. And that means that finding right speech isn't a matter of the mind sifting through words and the mind trying to find the perfect thing to say, but that right speech comes from silence. That deep silence that we're all really touching in our meditation practice. And what does that mean exactly? And one of the things about deeply listening is, by itself, no words necessary. It's so healing. We all know this. You know, I mean, a lot of the reason we go to therapists is just to have somebody who can hear us out without interrupting us. You can really think about, well, what's going on with this person? And you know the difference. When somebody just hears you, how that feels, oftentimes just in being heard, you kind of know what to do and how to respond. My mom, who's 91, has been diagnosed with cancer and is starting her last dying journey in life. And I'm noticing a lot in right speech when I share it with people, how when I'm deeply heard, people get that this isn't a tragedy. This is a sacred journey that we will all go through. And I have the privilege of going through with my mother. And they hear it in that way because that's what's in me. And I know how it feels when I mention it and I start getting advice back. You know, do this, or this is what happened when my mom was sick. And so it really has brought to me the difference of how it feels in the listener between just being heard and then being from silence and then getting reflection back from whatever somebody else's internal process is. So the difference of how that feels. And so the foundation of deep listening is mindfulness, of not only really hearing what somebody's saying, but being aware of your own reactions that come up, you know, your own responses. So often when we hear something, we've had, of course, similar experiences in life, but when we go there, suddenly we're listening only to us and not to them. You know, so it's mindfulness, being able to hold that process. And the other part of mindfulness in deep listening is something that from the fourth way, our teachers used to call listening to the fourth voice, which is what's not being said in words from that person, but what they are emotionally, their heart is needing. I mean, for example, maybe somebody at work or home does a task and they did it differently than how you're doing it, and you're looking at it and they're seeing you and they can tell that you would do it differently. And so they might be saying, well, I did it because here's what I thought. And so the words are, they're trying to explain it, but the fourth voice might be, am I okay? Am I valued? Is my way of doing things okay? And you can cut right through the details of the task, and maybe right speech might be, you know, I would have done that a little differently, but I love how you thought about it. I love how you approached it, and that you thought about it deeply enough that you're explaining it to me. You're okay. You're fine. And that's the deepest, that's the fourth voice. And then maybe later you might go into, but you know, you did leave that, you know, this step would have been helpful. But that's what deep listening is what is really needed. And in other times with deep listening, we've had the experience that by the time we talk to somebody or a family or a grouping, there's so much emotional charge that deep listening says, you know, we can't get to the deep root here. There's too much, you know, the shooting's already started. And all you can do is just listen and say, I hear your pain. And maybe offer something small, a cup of tea, so to speak. No, that's deep listening too, and then circle back later. You know, so deep listening really is what's really needed, not only for them, but for me in this moment. So that's part of it. So it's the mindfulness, the presence for them. And then the last piece of deep listening is understanding that the truth of our being isn't in the mind. It's not in verbal response. It's in that deeper silence that we touch. And so it's just trusting that that silence directs us. You know, from that silence, it just comes whole. You know, from that silence, like in our, we've all had the experience in meditation, maybe there's some situation in life that we're kind of wrestling with, like how to deal with this. And sometimes you sit in meditation and you touch the silence and you're not even thinking about that situation, but suddenly in whole form, you just know what to do. You just know what's needed. That's what it feels like when stuff comes out of the silence and doesn't go through the filter of the mind. It's just whole and complete. So the last part of deep listening is just trusting the silence in you to respond and not letting the mind become the end-all and be-all. So I just wanted to offer those thoughts about deep listening as the first step in right speech, because the other thing is, you know, when you do hear completely, it feels so nourishing inside, too, to really hear somebody and really just be connected to them in that way. It feels nourishing. It feels life-giving on both sides. So I just encourage you, as something kind of fun and exciting to do, is go out there and listen. Go out and listen and see what comes up. The other thing about deep listening is listening to yourself in the same time. I had something that went awry yesterday, and I realized this morning, because I wasn't listening to myself, we went out for a dinner and a play with some friends, and at the last minute, the other couple called and offered to drive us. And Lou took the call, and he was going, well, yeah, that makes sense. We'll drive together. Well, I was looking at this morning. This body gets incredibly car sick. I not only can't sit in the back seat of a car and be driven, but somebody with a lead foot, even in the front seat, by the time I get out, I've got a headache and I'm nauseated. And for some reason, I wasn't really, when I heard Lou talking on the phone, I felt discomfort, but I wasn't really present with it to the point of what do I need? And so here I'm in this situation with somebody who's in a super fast car and, you know, and I was like, oh my God, you know? And I thought, you know, if I had been, it was just such a reinforcement to listen deeply to myself. And I probably would have said to Lou, call him back and we'll drive. Because Lou's really good. After 35 years of marriage, he can drive me anywhere. But you know, that's deep listening to myself, where you can feel that discomfort, but you don't go that extra layer of like, what is really needed here? That's also part of right speech, and it would have led to right speech last night. So I was looking at, wow, a lesson for a deeper part of life. But that felt nourishing, just to recognize that's what was needed for me. So I just want to encourage you to go out and the whole point of the sila, the right action part of the Eightfold Path, right speech, right livelihood, right action, is that it makes you feel good. It's about happiness and joy. So I just encourage you to go out there and listen today, not to be goody two-shoes or good scouts, but for happiness, for relaxation, for comfort, for joy, for love. Thank you.
Thank you.